praise the Lord.
Walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy.
Oh, aren't you grateful today? Thank you, Lord.
Shine on.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I always say that wrong. I should say this afternoon at our church. Start after 12. So just a few real quick announcements. If you can go ahead and get your Bibles out if you have it with you. If you don't, just listen carefully when we read the scriptures and things. Just remember on the board out there, the Robinson's wedding renewal. If you want to sign up, I think just about everybody's name's on there, but I'll just keep announcing it until it gets here. If you want to come to that, praise the Lord. And in August here soon. This Wednesday, me and the family's leaving tonight, so Brother Alexander will be here Wednesday night. He looks for Brother Ray's. Pray for him and pray for the service. I'll be praying for you as well. That night I plan on going to Brother Fred Mullen's church, if anybody knows who that is, but I've heard the name before, but I've never met the brother, but he's pretty close to where my mom's at that I'm going to stay with, so I'm going to try to swing by that way and visit. A few we got missing. I had, Brother Dan's not here this morning. It's just Juanita. Just remember him in prayer when you don't see him in the house of the Lord. Even Brother Jack, he's been here. As far as I know, he paid tithes and things. So if he wants us to be his home, I sure miss him, man. I don't believe in proselyting people, but if you're at home, I believe y'all can be here. And if there's something keeping somebody out of the house of God, I know one thing. I don't know what it is, but I know who it is. It's not Jesus. I'll tell you that much. It's the devil somewhere. It's good to have our visitors with us. He ain't visitors back there, but good to have Brother Rick here in his life too. It's good to have you all and Brother Ryan's family. It's good to see you all again too. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles. Brother Ernie's emailed me quite a few times. We've got a little conversation, so you can go out there and check that out. Some little things there. So, 1 Timothy, please. Timothy 3, I won't keep standing too much longer. Let's go ahead and read verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that use the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And things write out unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12, which called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number, or company of the priests, were obedient to the faith. One more scripture real quick here. I'm sorry. So, Matthew chapter 7. Just a few verses here, and then I'll have you be seated. I believe in standing and respecting God's word. This word is, I believe the word is God, so when we respect his word, we're respecting him. Verse 28, Matthew 7, 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. Like the priest, we've been doing church order and things, so those of you that have visitors and things, just be patient and don't necessarily take this and run with it. This is just how we're going to run things at our assembly here. If another church wants to do it a little bit different, that's fine. But I'm here to teach what I believe is the Word of God and what I believe it should be in this house here. So I like to preach this morning on the offices of the local church. The offices of the local church. So let's bow our heads for a moment. As any service, I know we're talking church order, but if you have a need, I still believe the Holy Spirit's here. Would you want to lift that up to God and say, Father, you know my heart. Can you just give me my heart's cry today? God bless each hand. That's up. I believe God honors. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for assembling your saints together. We're thankful for the promise, Lord, that where two or three would gather together, you promised to be here, Lord. And we don't come to see one another necessarily, but we came to see you, Lord, and we came to give you our hearts and to worship you in the Spirit and in truth. And we're here to love on you, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything wrong, if there's anything in the Word, I pray it would just come and discern our hearts, Lord. Any true man of God, any true Christian wants to be right, Lord. They don't want to displease you, Father. And I pray if we've even deceived ourselves that the Holy Spirit will come and it'll show us the right way we ought to walk. Help each one that's here. If there's a sinner, Lord, I pray you save them today. If there's someone empty, I pray that the Holy Spirit could fill them anew. Lord, and if there's any sick in body or in spirit, Lord, may the Holy Spirit come and just solve the problem, Lord. We're just men. We can't do anything, but we're grateful that the Spirit of God abides in us. Lord, we pray you bless each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for their patience and their ability to come out to the house of God. I pray you bless them for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you hear something good, let's just make sure everybody understands. I don't mind you go ahead and praising the Lord a little bit about it. I don't mind you giving a good hearty amen if you believe in it. You know, that's, I believe in doing that. I think that's the main reason before I get too far into this. We come to the house of God for one main purpose. That's to worship Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And too many times people go to church for other reasons, and that's why they don't get to see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be where, if you expect him to be here, he will.
Yeah.
Now, he's here anyways, but you'll never see it. You'll never receive it unless you expect to.
Amen.
Why? Because there has to be something on the inside of you that can respond to the Word, or the Word will never benefit you.
Amen.
See, some people think that God, you know, the Bible said he's the healer of all of our infirmities, all of them. And people go, well, why am I sick? Why is this sick? We prayed for this and it didn't happen. Well, the problem being is not that God's Word failed, you failed the Word.
Right.
You know, you've got to believe what he says. If you don't believe, and Jesus made it very plain, if you don't believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. That wasn't Jesus trying to exalt himself. It was just a matter of fact. And it's the same with healing. If you're here for healing this morning, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ died, paid the penalty on the cross that you could be healed today, or it won't do you no good.
Amen.
I think we've asked a little too haphazard at times. We've got to put our faith where it belongs.
Yes.
That's in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Him crucified and not only dead, but he raised on the third day, and he's still here amongst us now.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I pray you don't come to see something fancy, but you came to see Jesus. Because if you'll come expecting, I can testify to that. I've gone to churches that don't even believe the gospel. But if you go expecting, he'll show up.
Amen.
We need to forget about our neighbor, forget what we're doing after this. Don't worry about that. You need to live right now.
Amen.
And realize that Jesus Christ, you know, he only does an audience of one. He don't work. It's you and him, or he don't bother with it. So. Praise the Lord. Excuse my voice. Y'all pray for me. Maybe I go down south and it'll get all cleared up. It just seems like anymore I get talking 5 minutes and I start coughing and rasping and things. But maybe I ain't drinking enough water, right? I'm probably eating the wrong foods.
Amen.
Dad's been having me at that for a while now. But praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this
Amen.
Morning. first thing, we talk about the offices in the local church, and we've talked about the pastor, and we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit and things, and we've hit that pretty hard. So if you have any questions on that, please go listen to those things and get that cleared up. But what I want to talk about today is the other offices, the other functions in the body outside of that, and that's just in the local church here. And we just read the scriptures there, and I think you can understand what the first one would be, and that's what the office of a deacon is. And first I want to say is that a deacon is an office that came to be because of a need.
Right.
It's not just something that just happened. It was it wasn't even necessarily the original plan. It was that they had a big conversion, okay? Let me make sure you understand what they did here. They had a church of about 5,000,
right.
Okay? And they had some widows that weren't getting, we read that in Acts chapter 6, they had some widows that were getting neglected. They, you know, and back then being a widow is a lot different than today.
Right.
I mean, back then you didn't have welfare and things. I mean, you were Social Security and all. It's you. And you can see, if you don't have anybody bringing money home, you're going to be in trouble somewhere. And that's why the widows, you know, that's why the Bible says it, the widow and the fatherless, you better take care of.
Amen.
They, and especially when the Bible was actually written, that meant a whole lot more than what it does here in America now.
Right.
But if you get out for a little bit and see what it's like for somebody to really be an orphan and doesn't have an orphanage to go to and things, you'd have a little bit more compassion. That's why the book of James says this is pure religion and undefiled, is to go help the widows and the fatherless and things like that, because it's a terrible thing, and it's not God's plan. God didn't want nobody to be fatherless. You know why? Because he's father.
Amen.
And there ain't a soul out there, if you'll just believe it, you've got a father.
Amen.
He said, I didn't have nobody raise me. I don't have no friends. You got a friend. You got a comforter. His name's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But for a group of 5,000 people, we read there, they set up seven men. Why? Because they wanted qualified men.
Right.
Too many times, especially in the, but in the message included, people have just used the office of a deacon just like it's like joining a new job or a club or society. You must approach that office with the deepest of sincerity. I'll read it here. I'm going to read a lot. I hope that's okay. You pray and have patience. Listen when I'm reading too. I'm not just trying to say it. I believe the word of God.
Amen.
I believe God sent us a voice in this age to tell us how to do these things.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier just to submit yourself to the word of God than trying to come up with your own ideas.
Amen.
And even there's some things I'll talk about. I want to get some other offices as well. I'm going to try to move along. You pray for me. I can get through. I don't want to keep you all here all afternoon. You know, we got a baptism and things too. And I'm leaving today too, so trust me. I got to drive 6 hours today. You know, I love you. You love me?
Amen.
All right, then pray for Brother Andrew after service. But even things that I have thought, you know, and my reasoning and things, I've even talked to Dad about certain things I thought, and when the Holy Spirit came, he told me to do totally different things.
Right.
See, I've gotten not far enough in God to realize that's just the way to do it.
Amen.
And you can sit here and fight and stew about it, but as long as you check up with the Word and the Word of the hour and it comes out right, it's God.
Amen.
Amen. We go with too much impressions, I think. If it ain't the Word, it ain't the Word. You just leave it alone.
Right.
The office of a deacon, Brother Branham says, is the strictest office there is in the church.
Yes.
If you read it even in 1 Timothy there, it talks about what a pastor's, a bishop, is the same man, supposed to be anyways. We know the world's taken those terms and messed them all up. But as far as the scripture is concerned, that shepherd is the same term.
Right.
And that man has qualifications it talks about. If you read what we just read about the deacon, it's almost just in line with the same thing.
Right.
But it also has even qualifications for a deacon's wife. It never tells you anything about a bishop's wife.
Right.
Why? Because this office is sacred. It's necessary for when there's a need for it. It's got to be the right man or don't do it.
Right.
I believe that. And I'm sorry, but I've been in enough congregations of people that call themselves deacons that aren't qualified. They shouldn't be, and it never works out right. It never will work out right. If the man's not fit for the job, he's not fit for the job.
Amen.
And a real true servant of God, if he's trying to serve the Lord and you show him the word where he's wrong or he shouldn't be doing this or that, he will humble himself to the word.
Right.
And if he wants to stew and fight, you don't want that man in office anyways because he's got the wrong spirit.
Amen.
So I will. I feel the Holy Spirit just, he's given me a great boldness about this, of what I need to say. I don't want to say everything I'm going to say, but I'm going to have to tell you exactly what I believe on it.
Amen.
And I believe in teaching. It's not the man teaching, it's the Holy Spirit teaching. When the Holy Spirit teaches, he teaches like Jesus did, a man with authority.
Amen.
A man that knows where he's standing, and you can try to fight it all you want to, you'll be found striving against God.
Amen.
And you won't come out on top, I'll tell you that much. I'm not saying that for Brother Andrew. I'm saying the word that's come, and it lives in me, and it's being projected now. That is what you need to respect.
Amen.
Amen. The office of a deacon. Let's just go back there for a minute and go through 1 Timothy again, please. I am probably going to spend the most time on this office because I think it's the most important to make sure we know what the Word says about this. There are other offices, but this is the main one that you can tie right into the Scriptures. We'll get to that here in a minute. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise must the deacons be. Okay? So everything I'm about to read, Paul did not say it's a suggestion. He did not say that it can be some of this but not all of this. They must be this. And if they are not, and a lot of people have made people deacons just because, well, they're just, that's the most qualified we have. No, it's either qualified or not.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you've got to stay with the Word. What if we were in a group and there was only women here? Would one of you raise up and be the pastor just because there's no one around?
No.
Why? Because the Word condemns that. The Word says that a man is to be the... We read that our pastor is the husband of one wife.
Right.
It's hard to be a husband if you're a woman.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way. And it's the same with the deacon. I mean, there's plenty... I've even heard the comment made about a woman, oh, she'd make a great deacon. God have mercy. That it don't work that way.
No.
Say, well, she's strict and all these things. That's not a deacon. A deacon's the husband of one wife.
Amen.
That's the same as saying I'm going to go join girls basketball and I'm going to be the best one out there. Well, I'm a man.
Right.
I don't qualify for girls basketball.
Right.
Does that make sense? It's
Amen.
The same. And don't get mad and stew about it. That's what the Word says.
Amen.
We're Christians. I believe what Paul wrote was God's inspired
Amen.
Word, and I just want to follow it.
Amen.
And any Christian will do the same. We've got to just take our mind and throw it out the door. That's where it belongs. Just take the mind of Christ. How do you know it's the mind of Christ? It'll say what the Word says.
Amen.
You just do that. You'll be all right. Likewise, must the deacons be brave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, not after money and things, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So this man, we read it there in Acts 6, 2. They said, find men full of the Holy Ghost and faith.
Right.
Okay? And they were able to find those people.
Yes.
Right.
Why? Because there was a need for it. And when God knows there's a need, He's already made provisions for that need.
Amen.
A lot of churches think they need 5, 6 deacons, or even just one for that matter. If the man's not there, you don't have a need yet, because if God doesn't, He doesn't fail.
Right.
He fulfills His word every time. I hope you're hearing from the Heavenly
Amen.
Father today. And take that, and it doesn't have to just apply to deacons. You can take your life that way. Sometimes
right.
we think, oh, I need $100. Maybe you don't. If you did, it'd be there.
Amen.
Maybe I need to feel this way. Maybe this needs to happen. If you did, and you really put your faith in the Lord, and you really got your heart right, that's the first thing to do.
Right.
If you're just living in wrong and doing wrong, and that's where it's wrong. That's where you need to do. You just need to go find somewhere, get down and pray, and say, Father, forgive me, make me right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says you ought to come to the house of God, and the more as you see the day approaching, if you're missing on purpose, and you know you got a dumb excuse, don't expect to feel good. If you're a Christian, you're going to feel like dirt, you're going to get convicted, that's the best thing to do. Get down on your knees and make that thing right, and say, God, help me again.
Sure.
I mean, and that's just one example. We can go all different directions, but the deacon, he's got to have the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. He's got to have the Holy Ghost. He's got to be a seasoned man. He can't just be, I believe it's the same, the pastor can't be a novice. I don't think a deacon should be a convert from yesterday.
Right.
I also don't think a deacon should be somebody that just joined an assembly recently.
Right.
I'm going to say from firsthand experience, I had joined a church, or I should say just went to a church. We were born into the Church of God.
Amen.
But I joined an assembly there, and they asked me after a few months to be a deacon. Come to find out later that what they thought a deacon was is not what I did.
Amen.
And that causes problems.
Right.
See, that's why I want, and that's why I haven't even established a person as a deacon. I want the church to know what I think it is, what I believe it is, what its function is in that office before I ask anybody to do it. Because I want him, the man that I would ask, I want him to know where I stand on it.
Amen.
Because, you know, I'm trying my best, but I've got to go by firsthand experience. I've been there. I've been a deacon. you know, a deacon, he's got to be faithful. It said his wife must be faithful. How much more the man himself?
Amen.
And I've seen deacons just miss church for birthday parties.
Amen.
I've seen deacons come in tired on Sunday because they went to Ohio State football game on Saturday, and their family had all face paint on them with Ohio State, and that's why they were too tired when they came in Sunday, barely got there on time. That's a deacon in the message. There's no excuse. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
Amen.
And it so impressed me even about that. And I'm just going to, this is just Brother Andrew. But I like Ohio State football, okay? I'm an Ohio State fan. I always, you know, I don't really keep up with it now. And at the time in particular, right then, I was having a real hard time because I think they had lost to Penn State or something, kind of ruined the season. And for some reason, it was really bothering me. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, I don't, you know, it's the flesh. It's what it's doing. It's trying. And I'm sitting here fighting. Just walking by, I saw a newspaper with Ohio State, you know, like season gone, blah, blah, something kind of like that. You know, most of the Michigan fans are pretty happy, but sorry. And I, you know, the Lord gave me a deliverance there, and I said, no, it was a temptation to me. And the next day is when I see that the deacon's out there in the stands of the same thing that I'm trying to overcome. And if that was it, you know, you're all like, oh, you're a little legalistic. No, that's after this and this and this. And I don't think a deacon should be late to church.
Right.
I don't think you should open the door and the deacon shows up after everybody's here.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute. He's supposed to be a policeman, and he's not on the job?
Right.
You think the president would show up before the police got there?
Right.
The armed? No, why? Because they have a respect for the man that's coming in.
Amen.
And we come to the house of God, we've got a respect for a man.
Yes.
Not just any man, the man. Yes. The man that is the bridge between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And I believe the deacon ought to be on the job. And I tell you what, when I was a deacon, and some of y'all were there at that assembly, I'm not saying this to brag, I'm saying what I believe.
Right.
I hope you understand. I was the first one there.
Right.
I was at the door. I didn't want nothing coming in that we didn't know about. Why? Because it's a sincere job.
Amen.
I was the last one to leave most services.
Right.
I made sure everybody got greeted when they came in so they didn't feel like strangers and scared. How many times do you take somebody to message church and they feel like, because nobody even says hi to them?
Right.
That ain't right.
No.
If we're the church of living God, we ought to have love like nobody else does.
Amen.
Especially for the stranger. You don't know what that person's going through, especially you've never been before. They could be having the worst day in their life. And just somebody to care about them will mean more than anything.
Amen.
And some of the other deacons, you know, got kind of jealous because I was stepping on their toes and things. And I said, you know what, brother? I'm here to do a job. I don't work for you. I am not putting ourselves on a chart over here.
No.
I am serving Jesus Christ. And if you're mad about how sincere I'm being about it, chances are you're convicted and you need to get right.
Amen.
You want to be at the door? I didn't care. But if nobody's standing there, I will.
Right.
And I think it's the same just in a Christian at all. If nobody's going to say the word, I will.
Hallelujah.
And that was the Spirit of God when it came to Isaiah. And he said, who's going to go for us? He looked around. God, everybody's backslidden. Nobody wants to serve God. Isaiah looked around and said, I'll do it.
Amen.
Now, he knew better to go off the way he was. So the hot coals came and it burned off his sinful lips. And God said, I'll speak through you. He said, I'll go, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Don't go without him now.
Help us,
you go with the Lord. Don't go by yourself.
Yeah.
Getting a free sermon also, by the way. I'm not getting anywhere. A deacon must be faithful. I believe a deacon ought to be at every service he can.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying a lot of men are qualified, but sometimes even just the job they have doesn't make them, in my opinion now, okay? Another church can do something different. I don't want you to go running around like that, but a man that has to work second shift to me is hard to be a deacon.
Right.
Because he's going to miss every half the time.
Right.
You know, and you think of you getting a job out there and you say, well, I'd like to work, but I can't work Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The man says, I want you to work all the day. He's not going to hire you if you only work part time.
Right.
You know, if he needs a full-time position, that is. And I know, like I said, some churches do that and that's fine, but as far as I'm concerned, I think a man ought to have the ability around his job to be able to get to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
If he's to be a deacon. Excuse me. He ought to be faithful. He ought to be a man that's got the Holy Ghost. He ought to be a man that's seasoned, that knows the Word. That's another sad thing I've had is I've had questions that I didn't want to go talk to the pastor, but looking at deacons, none of them know what I was talking about.
Right.
because they don't even study the word themselves. You're supposed to hold, we just read it there, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That means they need to know what this gospel's about.
Amen.
They're supposed to be apt to teach. I'm going to read all these things to you. I'm just trying to get there. It just ain't working out too well right now. But they're supposed to be apt to teach. They're supposed to know what this, they're supposed to be, as far as I'm concerned, they're a pastor that isn't preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the pastor can give more time to preaching the word than he could without it.
Amen.
That's what I believe his main function is. I believe he ought to be just as qualified, as I said before, even more qualified than the pastor is himself.
Right.
Let's read all those things. He's grave and double-tongued and things like that. I mean, he doesn't lie. He's got control of himself. He doesn't drink. He's not greedy. He's got a revelation of the word. Verse 10, and then let these also first be proved. There's the next problem.
Right.
We throw them in office and then we'll figure out if they're good. They're going to be able to do this. No. They need to be proved first.
Amen.
That needs to be a life that's been watched.
Yes.
A life that you can tell. Because if you're faithful to just serving the Lord, you'll be faithful as a deacon. If you just get faithful because you are a deacon, you're not serving the Lord.
Right.
You're serving that office. You're trying to be something you're not.
That's
if
good.
You're a Christian, you should serve the Lord anyway.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be full of faith in the Holy Ghost. That'd be a man that's on time to church.
Amen.
A man that comes and prays. A man, and we'll keep going on there, but a man that's faithful.
Right.
You know, you don't put him in office first. He needs to show himself faithful first. Then you can, and then it says there, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. What does blameless mean? First, he's got to be converted.
Right.
If he's living in sin and ain't got, no, he's not blameless. If he's got, bad habits and things, and people see this and that, you can't have that. Now, there's not sinless perfection in any of us. We all make mistakes and things. We all need to understand that. But a man that's a deacon should not be the guy that holds a grudge in his heart for 5 years. It should be the man that knows he's got a grudge and talks to you about it and gets it settled right now.
Amen.
Amen. Be mature in the faith is the main thing. And that's for any Christian. If you want to be mature in the faith, it's not being necessarily, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things wrong. It's your approach to that. It's your attitude to that. It's your faith that God knew you'd do it. He forgave you, but you need to go ahead and get whatever you need to do done.
Right.
And not just let it dwell and not get a complex. And a lot of ministers have go ahead and done that.
Right.
And they destroyed their ministries that way. Many deacons have destroyed their ministry because it is a ministry.
It is.
It's absolutely a ministry ordained of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me keep reading there. Being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, which is the same thing, collective, temperate, doesn't spout off in things. Grave, not slanderers. Why does it say that about a woman? Because if there's anybody who's going to tell you what's wrong about somebody else, it'll be a woman before a man. A man will kind of sneak around about it, but a woman, sometimes you get them out there talking, and they just let it happen. I'm sorry, I'm looking at it. That's why I looked at brothers when I said that, but y'all know it's true. It happened. Not to say a man wouldn't do it too, but it's something that he knew. You got to make sure that we talk about this. Not one that goes around talking bad about everybody, not slandering one another, but it's sober. What is sober? You got a collected mind. You don't spout off all the time. You're patient about saying things.
Right.
Sober, faithful in all things. I'm sorry, but it said must.
Right.
And that's a tough one, but it's got to be though.
Right.
If they say they're going to be there and they're not, it's not good. You don't want that. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. And I want to go ahead and touch that real quick. Brother Bram talks about it too, about a man being divorced and remarried and married 2, 3, 4 times. He said that man ought to not be a deacon. Not because the man himself is necessarily terrible or bad or nothing. It's just not what the scripture said. If you're divorced and remarried, as far as the scripture goes, now we know that God can't forgive you and you should go on with the way you are and things like that. He totally said that, and I'm not trying to de-Christianize anyone that's done that. But as far as the scripture goes, you still got 2 wives. And that's why you ought not to be a deacon, you ought not to be a pastor. That doesn't mean you ought not to be a Christian. Serve God. And I'm just going to share that because I want to bring it right home. When I started the church, obviously me having a deacon would be very helpful. Let's just be honest. I'm a full-time teacher. I do this. I'm a father too. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying that I stay busy. And it'd be nice to have a man to be able to do certain things that I do. But if I don't have that man there, I know that I can do it.
Amen.
Until that man's there. Because I've had people try to tell me, and I think my dad can handle this because he's spiritual enough to know that what the word's got to say. My father is divorced, remarried, but I've had people tell me, well, why don't you make your dad a deacon? And I said, what a temptation of the enemy. Would my dad be able to do it physically? And absolutely. I believe him to be a man of God. I believe he serves God and he'd do it right. He'd follow the word. But he's not a husband of one wife.
Amen.
Not that he's offensive. And there's other, I mean, almost everybody in here I can see has been had divorce and things like that. You know, it's just, I'm part of a split family, not my direct family, but I've got half, step half. We got it all, you know? And that's the society we live in. And you say, well, it's just too hard. We just can't find a deacon that, no, sir. The word of God is true. That man will be there if you need him. And I did. I mean, obviously, logically, I'd say, oh, yeah, obviously, make him a deacon. That way, no, if it's not the word, you leave it go.
Amen.
And that was a big thing for this man to sit up here as I said it, but I knew he could handle it because a Christian handles the word.
Amen.
Because they are the word.
Amen.
They got no problems with it. They just stay right there with it.
Amen.
Amen. So let them be the husband of one wife. Not only that, but ruling their children and their own house as well. Now, let me read what Brother Brown says about this verse. It's placing the deacon, 1958. Listen closely. It's coming from a sermon. One young man that they had found was not exactly qualified. Not because that he wasn't the right type of man, one that was suggested by one of the honorable men of the trustee board, but as the pastor and I came together and I asked the age of the young man, he was in his early 20s. Honorable, just, a real man, but found out that he was a single man. The Bible requires a deacon to be a married man. He must be the husband of one wife. So that takes single brothers, you know, to be a deacon. And then another man, which is a very honorable man, very qualified for the job, would make a loyal man, as the brother suggested him. Then after investigating the case, that the brother had just recently come into the faith. His wife doesn't believe in it. Then that disqualified the man as the office, because he must have all his family in subjection. They must be also in the faith because it would be a conflict.
Right.
So when you have your house in order, they've got to believe what the man believes. Say, well, this brother, he's so good enough. Look, that's what Brother Branham just said there.
Right.
He said the man was well qualified as far as doing the job and things, but his wife doesn't believe yet. He's not qualified for this office.
Right.
Can't de-Christianize anybody. I hope you understand that. I'm not doing that to anyone that's here.
Amen.
No, it's just that for this office, that's not qualified. Now, let me keep reading. And we're building now, and we wish to place this church. And as a general overseer of the church, I must see that it's kept scripturally, everything right on the word. And so, therefore, then it has been found favorable with the board and the pastor and the overseer to select in this group of people here some men who we think to be honorable and just men. We can only bring them. Now, I'm gonna clarify this. And it's then they are appointed by the church by their own vote. And then these men shall serve if they feel that they will accept this office. Okay, so this, as far as electing anything, I want to make sure you understand how we're going to do it and how I believe the Bram Tabernacle and things, how I believe it ought to be done. It's not the pastor just picking things.
Uh-huh.
And it's not an election.
No.
Like in politics.
Right.
Politics doesn't belong in the church.
Right.
And that's the problem. You get two people, well, this man should be deacon and this one, and then they begin to campaign.
Right.
Before a vote. That's not how this works.
No.
I believe it should be something that the pastor's involved in. We pray about it, and we find someone and appoint them to
right.
this office. Then that man is brought before the church so the church can collectively say if they support this man being that or not.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
It's not just, well, just whatever. Whoever feels led of the Lord be a deacon, come on out. You can imagine the mess that would make.
Amen.
See, we don't need to do that. And it goes the same with any office. I believe the man or woman, we'll get to that here in a minute, that should be for an office. I believe it should be something prayed about. I believe the pastor should be the one to have the final say in who's appointed.
Right.
But as far as them being that, and they're gonna be a deacon, they're gonna be a trustee, and things of that sort, it ought to be voted on by the assembly.
Amen.
And I believe it ought to be unanimous.
Amen.
Because if it's not, we need to figure out what's wrong.
Right.
You know, I've heard, if it's the majority, then it's okay. I don't believe in a God like that. I believe a God that's 100%.
Amen.
Because maybe there is, and maybe I don't know something. You know, and if you want to say no, I want to know why you're saying no.
Right.
If it's foolish, sorry. We're just going to dismiss it. But if it is something in the Word, you know, for instance, you know a man and he was divorced, nobody else knows that, and you do, and you tell, that's fine. See, that's okay. We'll deal with it then. If the man's not faithful, we talked about all those things, he's not sober, you know, he drinks on the side when nobody's watching and think, yes, bring that. We don't want to lie.
Right.
We want to tell the truth. But if it's just because, I don't really like his haircut, you know. His wife's just a little too short in my opinion. See, that kind of stuff, no, I'm sorry. That don't need to be there.
Right.
And a no vote, to be honest with you, if a man knows he had a no vote, I was a Sunday school superintendent. Let me just share this. And when I got voted on to be full-time, I had a few no's. And you know what that does? It puts all kinds of questions in your head. Why? 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 And that's why I don't want to do it that way. If there's one no, I want to know about it.
Right.
I want to know what it is. Because if you tell people that, that they're going to have to fess up and say what they're saying no for, that they'll think a little harder about it.
Right.
But they know they can just write it on a ballot, kind of sneak it in, and honestly, they'll say no. Well, you know, he snubbed me that wrong way one time, didn't shake my hand like I thought he ought to.
Right.
You laugh, but I'm telling you, people dictate their lives from that stuff.
That's right.
And it is. You're right. It's just dumb. You don't want to live that way. You'll drive yourself miserable.
Yeah.
Give people the benefit of the doubt. You'll live a lot easier.
Right.
Just give it to them. You know, if they're wrong, guess what? God will bring it to light and explain it.
Amen.
God have mercy. I am getting nowhere. Really slow. I thought I'd be done with the deacon by now. God help us. Let me try to bring this in. Now, a deacon, we talked about his qualifications. His house has got to be in order. That goes with children, too. They can't be just wild and crazy. They've got to be in order. They've got to respect God's word. I don't believe a deacon can force his children to be Christians. And make sure you understand this. Same with a pastor. But they ought to know the respect of God.
Amen.
And they ought to be, even if they don't believe, you can't convert somebody's heart. That's only between God. You can't be anyone's Savior.
Right.
And that goes for any Christian. Don't you try to do it. Let the Holy Spirit do it.
Amen.
You'll never be able to convert anybody, but the Holy Spirit through you can.
Amen.
And same with the children. But they ought to be taught the respect of God. They ought to know what we believe and know if they're going to sit in the house, they need to be respectful. They need, you know, they're not going to bring their trash in the house and just do whatever they want and live
Amen.
Sinful in that room over there. That's
yeah.
not allowed.
That's yeah. right. Amen.
And I don't think it should be in any Christian house,
Amen.
To be honest with you.
Amen.
Say, my, that's pretty legalistic, brother. I'm sorry. We've been dumbed down, sissified, softened up by this age
yeah.
so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man, kids in there. Oh, boys will be boys. Not in this house. Get that trash out of here.
Amen.
You don't like it, you're going to call the cops on me. I'm sorry, but I got a policeman from heaven who
Amen.
Told me to keep this house serving God.
Amen.
If you don't like it, you know, there's the street, buddy.
Amen.
You say, oh, is that really the love of God? What about God? When Jesus was here, he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Right.
He said, this is a hard saying. He said, you're going to leave? He didn't sit there and say, all right, let's have a 20-page discussion. If you don't want the word, there's the door.
Amen.
And let's be honest with ourselves. If you don't believe what Brother Andrew's establishing here, you probably don't want to go to this church.
Amen.
Let's just be honest. I will have no bad feelings. If you just have different ideas about this, see, Brother Andrew, and if you want to come talk to me, I hope that door has been wide open. I've said it the whole time. If you've got questions about anything, talk to me about it. Don't tell me your feelings about it. Tell me what you see in the scriptures. Tell me what you see, and tell me what you
Amen.
See I'm saying that's wrong.
Amen.
Let's talk that way.
Amen.
So we can talk feelings all day. I mean,
right.
I've got my opinions about stuff, too. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. That's
just,
it.
And we can just do that. Let's just take all that and leave it out there.
Amen.
Well, I like these kind of songs. Just leave that out there.
Amen.
Okay? Just pray praise the Lord while you're here. You'll be happier in it.
Amen.
Now, let me show you what a deacon's supposed to do. I'm going to read this again, so listen closely. The same, Church Order 63. How far, Brother Branham, can or should a deacon go to keep order in the church? Should we keep the order or wait until Brother Neville, that's the pastor, tells us what we should do? That isn't Brother Neville's job.
Nope.
That's your job.
Amen.
See, you don't tell Brother Neville what to preach on.
That's right.
Most people. Don't you go doing it either. You don't need to worry about that. You say, well, I think we ought to do that. Just pray about it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. There it is.
If you've got faith
yes.
in a man, it's going to fail. I'll tell
yes.
you that right now. But if you got faith that God placed the man to be your pastor and things, that'll go far.
Amen.
And if, again, you think it's something wrong, it's not your job to come, and I'll just say it for here, it's not your job to come tell Brother Andrew what to preach, and he says how to preach it and things. We go too much on style points anyway.
Yes.
I wish you'd do this and that. What's he saying? That's what matters.
Amen.
If you've got $1 million for me, I don't care how you bring it to my house. But I want it.
Amen.
Some of y'all are like, well, you know, it's a... Oh, shut up. You take it too.
Amen.
Now, I trust you'd use it a little better than the world did. I don't think you'd go get a big condo and a Mercedes out there or something. But, hey, if we can take the world's good and use it for the gospel, that's what I want.
Amen.
So, my point being is... Don't concern yourself with things that you're not responsible for.
Amen.
As far as a lay team member, I'm gonna talk about that office just because I feel left here. That is an office.
Yes, it is.
It's absolutely an office to be a lay team member in the church.
Amen.
What good does it do to have all generals and no soldiers?
Amen.
And that's the reason the gospel gets nowhere. Everybody wants to be the general. Mm-hmm. And if you really knew what it was all about, no, you don't.
Right.
Just be a good soldier.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. I mean, I love this assembly here and in any church, but you all get here early, you pray and things like that. I so appreciate that. You don't know how far that goes in the kingdom.
Amen.
It really does. If more churches would do that, they wouldn't have such dead, dry, nothing going on services.
Amen.
God would be alive because you have to respect God. You can't. And that's why you get here early, and I think we're getting a revelation of that. This isn't between me and trying to line up to the church of Brother Andrew. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm here to serve Christ. And if I'm here to serve the King of Kings, the ones that came down from heaven, took my place on the cross, I can give him more than what I am.
Amen.
And I will.
Yeah.
See, that's the right attitude. Don't worry about your neighbor. You serve God.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen. That's nothing to Brother Neville. See, that's your job. You deacons, you're supposed to do that. You take care of that. That's nothing to Brother Neville, the pastor now. When I said Brother Neville, that was the pastor at the time. That's your job, see. Now, if a policeman's out here on the street and sees a man stealing property out of the back of a car, should he call the mayor and say, "Now, Mayor, Your Honor, sir, I'm working for you here on this police force now. I found a man up on the street. He was stealing some tires off a car last night. Now, I just wonder, what's your opinion on that?" Huh, see, that wouldn't be sensible, would it? No, sir. If he was doing something wrong, arrest him.
Amen.
And if a man's doing something wrong here in the church or anybody, stop them. Talk to them. Don't be arrogant.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But if they won't listen, speak in a way that they know what you're saying.
Amen.
See, yeah, you don't want to be arrogant, but you also don't want to whitewash it so much they don't even know what you're giving.
Amen.
Amen.
I've heard, you know, they can hit around the bush so much. I've had it happen to me, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'll go, and it'll just bother you, because anytime there's confusion, that's not God.
Right.
The Bible declares that He's an author of peace.
Amen.
And even if the word hurts, it ought to be clear.
Amen.
If it's really God working, and a deacon really needs to tell somebody the right thing, I don't think you should go and blast them and tell them how bad they are. He just tells them respectfully and honestly, look, you're disorderly here. You kind of talk a lot when we're supposed to be praying things. Please don't do that in the house of God.
Amen.
I believe that's what he ought to do. Children want to get brought up in things. I don't think they need to go, you know, smacking them and things. But you come talk to the parents and say, hey, you know, they need to respect this place.
Right.
Say, well, even those little guys, well, you know, don't listen to what they'll see about it. They'll tell you don't even spank them or nothing.
Right.
Excuse me. But they'll listen. If you go in the right spirit, the Holy Spirit's the one that started a family.
Amen.
And the way he told us to run, it's the right way.
Amen.
Right.
And you teach and respect the house of God.
Yeah.
I know it can be hard on them sometimes, and they want to get, that's why we got a nursery for things like that. But if you just let them go on, parents, that's not right. And that's the main thing. We know they're going to fuss. We know they're going to act up. The main thing is that the parent does something about it.
Amen.
To make sure it's not happening in the house of God. You know, we want to respect God's house.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, let me keep finishing that. But if they won't listen, speak in a way that they know what you're saying. That's what I was saying. I had a brother one time tell me all around the bush, and I went and prayed about it, and God showed me. I'm like, that's all it was? Why don't you just tell me that? That's the same with anything in life. If you just know what it is, it's all over. Because then you can deal with it.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to do here. If you had ideas about a deacon or in the other offices I'll get to hopefully soon, it's better to know where I stand than for me to kind of just leave it open. And then when you come this way and I come this way, we never can come together that way.
Right.
Okay. Now let me get moving here. See, like you tell a child, see, walk back here, he's disbehaving. Deacons, stay at your place. There's four of you, two stay in the front, two in the back, or these corners or something like that. And watch real close for renegades and anything else come in like this, you see. And you be on the guard. You get to your post of duty and stay there. That's your seat. Or stand right beside the wall and watch everybody come in. A deacon takes care of the house of God. Someone come in, speak to them. Be there to greet them, shake their hand. You're the policeman. Could we show you the cloakroom? Would you be seated? Or could we give you a songbook or something? Now, we would like you to enjoy yourself here and pray, and we're happy you're with us here tonight. Lead them right down to a place and say, would you like to be closer? Would you like to be in the back here or whatever more? That's hospitality.
Amen.
A policeman or the deacon is a military police of the army, courtesy, but yet with authority, see? You know what a military police is, actually, if he carries out his rights. I think he's like a chaplain, you see? It's courtesy and everything, but yet he has an authority, see? You must mind him. So that's a lesson to all the laity here. If a man's a deacon, you've got to respect that man.
Amen.
Now, he ought to live a life that you can respect.
Right.
Make sure that there's a both sides of it. These rookies get out there and get drunk. Why? He puts them in their place. And so is the deacon to put them in their place. Now, remember, the deacon is a policeman. And a deacon's office is actually more strict than most any office in the church. I don't know of any office more stricter than the deacon's office. That's right, because he's got a real job. And he's God's man. He's God's man just as much as the pastor is God's man. Certainly
Amen.
Is. He's God's servant. Let me read one more here. It's out of church order. Is there any better way to keep order in the church than to remind the people with a repeat from the deacons now occasionally? Now, I think that the pastor every so often or play this tape, let it stand for a witness. Deacons are policemen, and their word is law and order. And they have the authority from the church and even from the laws of the nation to make the house of God to be a right place, to be the right place. And anyone to contrary a deacon like that is subject to 10 years in federal prison. If you tell them to go and they don't do it, something like that, somebody with disorderly conduct, he just don't know what he's doing. He's subjecting himself or liable to any kinds of fines, anything. If there comes to a spot, if somebody jumps up and gets disorderly, maybe speaker tongues or something, I wouldn't go in on that. See, let me make sure you understand. Like, just to tear him up right now. Don't just give it time for certain things, you know, especially when you have visitors. Sometimes people have just been too fast on the gun.
Yeah.
Give them a chance. They don't even know. Most of the time, it's ignorant. If people knew what you expected out of them, in their business somewhere. You do that when you go to somebody's house.
Right.
You don't take your rules in there, but you know how many times I don't take my shoes off my house, but a lot of times I go in the house, I'm like, maybe I should just go ahead and take my shoes off.
Right.
Why? Because you want to respect what they believe. And it's the same if somebody does something that we don't believe here necessarily, don't get all riled up about it, even a deacon. Just give them a little time. But once you've talked about it, that's different.
Amen. Right.
If they know better and they're doing it anyways, that's different. That
Amen.
Needs to be handled with. All right. The deacon's got authority. He's got to be there. You've got to respect his authority. As Brother Branham talks about, it's, you know, if a man won't even listen to a deacon, and Brother Branham talks about children too, and if they're going to be disorderly, there's nothing you can do about it because it's better for them to just stay home. That's tough, but that's what he said. And if you got a problem, I mean, that's why you've got to talk about that. You got to believe what the word says. Let me read one last thing on deacons, and then I want to move on. This is what Branham Tabernacle had, and I'll put our Truth Tabernacle in there. The office of a deacon, as elected according to the word of God and the manner of Truth Tabernacle, is an act as an office of spiritual assistance to the pastor and associate pastor if we would have one. They are to assist the pastor on all spiritual activities. They are given free speech in presenting to the pastors any program or benefits that would bless the congregation and spiritual welfare of the church. They must be apt to teach and ready to assist the pastor on every duty if called to do so. They shall assist in serving communion. That's something we could talk about if we get to that day. Let me keep. They shall be acting as ushers in all services. Let me make sure you understand that. Usher is the one that leads you in and things. We don't have a deacon at the moment. That's why Dad being an usher is not the same as being a deacon. He's just greeting you. He's not acting as a deacon. He won't fleece you in none of those things because he's not a deacon.
Right.
But I believe in having somebody to be an usher if we need one.
Amen. You know?
Okay. Make sure that's clear. They shall police the church in keeping civil order and conduct. They shall assist in taking local offerings. They shall oversee the spiritual conduct of the church in working with the pastor and one another on spiritual problems and matters of the saints. They shall be ready at any time to assist the need of every saint who is burdened and in need of spiritual consultation or general welfare. Okay? How many deacons do you see get on that job too often? That's the main problem. That's the office of a deacon, is to be the pastor when the pastor came. And you should be the first round if you're the deacon, not the pastor. He's supposed to give himself to the word of God in prayer first.
Amen.
Amen. It's the word. They have the right to act upon any program or they have not the right to act upon any program or promotion without agreement with one another, the pastors, or the trustees of the program they are considering involves doing church funds. They will be responsible for God for their conduct and manner of service according to the word of God. They shall not have meetings amongst themselves without the pastor or the associate pastor present. Okay. Is everybody clear on a deacon?
Amen.
And at this moment, I haven't felt led to appoint anyone, not because, like I said, not because there's not men that could probably do it. I have to be led of the Lord.
Amen.
And I believe that the Holy Spirit will do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay?
Don't leave this saying, well, if only this, if only that, maybe he don't like me. Don't do that, please.
Amen.
I go by the leading of the Spirit. That's what
Amen.
I do. Now, the trustee, I'm going to go real quick through this. The trustee is in charge of finances. Dad right now is acting as a trustee. When we started the church, I did that because actually by law you have to. You've got to have somebody that, in case things go wrong, they blame it on. That's the main thing. And that's where me and Dad are the responsible ones. If nobody's paying the rent, we're the ones that are going to get docked for it, okay? But the trustee is not in office. It's explicitly talked about in the Bible, but it is. You see it there. You see Judas was a trustee. He had the bag. He took care of the money. In the temple, they had people that would bring the offerings and took care of what it went to the building and things like that. A trustee in the house of God, let me read it from church order. This is what Brother Branham says. Now, the trustees, only thing, they're under duty by God to watch that finances and take care of that the things that goes on like that. I told about the tapes and the others. The trustee, the property, the finances and things. The deacon has nothing to do in that, and neither does the trustee have anything to do in the deacon's office. The trustee is there to make sure that our finances are kept up. We know how much money we get. Our bills are getting paid. And, you know, the house is taken care of. If something breaks here, the trustee is supposed to be the one to get it fixed.
Amen.
Not the deacons. Okay? That's what Dad does right now. Is that clear?
Amen.
Trustee's pretty easy. As far as treasurer, a lot of times church has a treasurer, too. They're always a trustee. I've found that just a treasurer is just a number keeper, and really the trustee's got to be that too. He's got to know what the numbers are. And Dad's very faithful at that. We have it online, and I check it too just to make sure we're not spending too much. And I believe the church ought to be taken care of first.
Right.
You know, even before mission, if we're not paying our bills, we don't send a mission. You know, we do that afterwards. That's why, you know, we talk about tithes and things. That's what that goes to. Just let you know, it doesn't go so I can go buy me, you know, I just bought a house, but I tell you, that's because I got a job. We'll pay for that. This job would not pay for that. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. It goes to the gospel, and you need to keep that before you. When we talk about funds and things, it's always a sensitive thing because so many churches have gone the wrong way with it.
Right.
And people have a right to doubt when children take all that they're made of and use it for what? You know, you see Benny Hinn, he's got a house about as big as the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great time evangelist. You think, see, I don't believe in that. I think we should be putting all we can into the gospel. Now, some other things that the church, and I'm going to try to get through this. I hope you got a little bit more time.
Amen.
Can you make it?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been about 50 minutes, so let's try to get through. I want to talk about Sunday school. Now, I brought to the church a while ago that I was starting to feel that we might be able to do it because we finally had a room for it. And I prayed about it, and I've even talked to Dad and Ellie about, you know, maybe this person, maybe that one, and things. And to be honest with you, when I got down and prayed, it was somebody I had no thought of. It was I was like, well, praise the Lord. And I prayed about it, and just couldn't get away from it. And I'm like, Lord, are you very sure? So let me read you what Brother Branham says a Sunday school teacher ought to be. And I'm going to talk about different classes and things. You just be patient with me today. Here's the question Brother Branham's asking. Now, Brother Branham, what about Sunday school? Brother Branham, about the Sunday school, should it be before the preaching service? That's the first thing. Yes, we've always had it that way. Have Sunday school before the preaching service. And that gives a chance for the little fellows who attend Sunday school to dismiss their classes. And the little fellows don't understand it. And they have to sit all the way through the preaching service and then have Sunday school. The little fellows are all wore out. So that's why you don't have it after. Because they're just done. They're ready.
Right.
And we should respect that. You know, they're children. Let's understand that. After Sunday school service for a few hours, they're ready to go run out of there.
Right.
And that's okay. You know? As long as they stay in the box, you know, don't go out there where the cars are, but it's okay to do that. So we're going to establish this, I want it before service. Let me make sure. Okay, sorry, I missed my spot. Let the Sunday school be first. Have a set time, just at one set time, that Sunday school goes the session. Sunday school superintendent is supposed to see to that the Sunday school goes to a session at a certain time, set time, and it's dismissed at a certain time. All the Sunday school allows so much time for that, and then dismiss. So that's the first thing I want you to understand. As far as Sunday school superintendent, I will act as that for the time being. I would like to eventually give that to another man, okay? Because I've already told you what I got on my plate, but I want to get established the way I believe it ought to be. And I think, and that's what I want to do. It will be before service. As far as exact time, I don't believe it should interfere the service at all. So I want it done before noon. Okay? And, you know, a lot of times churches will have it go into service and things, and I watch them all pile in. It always disrupts service.
Yes.
Always.
Yes.
I've been at one church, they came in like 20 minutes into the preaching. I'm like, did you read the same thing I did?
Right.
It's in the message now. They read the same quotes I'm
Amen.
Reading. I didn't understand it, but I didn't go tell them, hey, brothers, you know what Brother Vance said.
Right.
It's not my place to do that.
Right.
Because this is just church order. Make sure you understand, this ain't salvation.
Right.
This has nothing to do with getting saved or not saved. It's just about serving God the best way we feel like to.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't want to make it too long because especially just starting out, and I'll explain here in a minute, but I think from 11:35 to 11:55 should be good to start like that. If there's any objection, if you do, let me know. But I think just 20 minutes, let the kids go in there. Well, we can all come in here and pray and make sure you understand you will hear them.
Amen.
You're going
right.
to hear them. Be spiritual enough to not get distracted by that.
Amen.
If we all get in the spirit, you won't hear, it'll just be nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if they're operating, this is an ordained thing of God.
Right.
School, I believe investing in children.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Teach them the right thing. You say, well, they don't really understand. It doesn't matter. I like when my kid, I say, who do we praise? He says, Jesus.
Amen.
When's Jesus good? He'll tell you. All the time.
Amen.
I said, what did Jesus do? He died on the cross. This is my 3-year-old son, not quite 3. Then what? He said, but he raised again.
Amen.
And I said, and now what? He lives in our hearts.
Amen.
3 years
yes.
old.
You
I believe in that.
Yes.
The Bible said, teach us a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart.
Amen.
And I think Sunday school is a vital importance
yes.
for my little children.
Yes.
I don't think it's just a goof off and play. I've been to church. When I was a Sunday school superintendent at Brother Craig's church, actually, and I'm just going to share this here. When I first walked in there, might as well have been a playground.
Right.
That's really what it looked like, just kids. And we said, no, this is not a playtime, okay? It's to teach children.
Yes.
Now, we do have to do things a little different because they're little guys,
right.
Okay? We go through the preaching. That, you know, I even asked the girls, some little girls there, sometimes, do you understand what Brother Andrew's preaching? And they just say, no, I don't know. I'm not offended by that. Why? Because they're little children.
Amen.
Now, that goes the same with adults sometimes that's still little children, you know, but we ought not to be little children anymore. We ought to understand the word and be able to apply it to our lives.
Amen.
Anyways, but I think 20 minutes just starting out, if they handle it well, we give them more time.
Right.
You know, I'm all for that. But that gives us time. You get here at 11:30, you get them in there, everybody kind of quiets down, we're all in here praying, they're having a little class. When they come in, we're just ready to start. The song serve. I think
Amen.
That's great.
Yes.
I think that's good.
Yes.
I think kids need to be in the service.
Yes.
But I think Jesus needs to be in the service too.
Amen.
They need to see that Jesus is here.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, well, they can't heal. They don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's not the important part for a child.
No.
They just need to know who's going on. Who's around
them.
And if we get in that atmosphere, they'll know that Jesus Christ is the same.
That's right.
Yes.
They'll see him here. And usually I've seen kids see things that not an adult anywhere. Just more sensitive at that age. We get older and we get kind of callous to things, a little more doubtful. Child just believes.
Amen.
I love it. Brother Justin, where is he down here somewhere taking a nap? And my brother's come up twice. Boom, right here. Heal right on the spot. Why?
Amen.
That's the only way to do it. Jesus said this? Okay, I'll do it.
Right.
I love Brother Justin. He's a good boy. All right, so set time. Let's just establish. I'm just going to go with that for now. 11:35, 11:55. 20 minutes. Now, let me skip down here. Church, or this is another question. How many classes should there be? You should put your classes, little bitty class that wants to have flannel graph, you know, the little, everybody see flannel graph?
Yeah.
Those little things you stick on them. Yeah, okay. That's too much for a 14-year-old boy or girl.
Right.
Amen. That's right, brother, right? We're getting up in that age a little bit older. You should have someone to take a class for those little babies, some old mother or something. Who knows how to take care of them? Now that's where you say old. I told you, I believe, and we'll read more about what Brother Ram says about this, but for the little babies, and that's where I want to start. And as far as the minimal age, Brother Ram says 5 or somewhere around there. So he says up to 10 or something. He didn't really establish that it needs to be this. Okay?
Right.
I think, and I'm just, for us here, I think 10 is probably the oldest we should be.
Right.
If you're 10, we don't have a I'm not going to set a class up for that group there yet. But we're getting, or even close to there. I want one just for the little guy.
Amen.
And maybe five, if they're not five, even if they're younger than five, if they can just sit there, be respectful, and participate a little bit, I think it's okay for them to be in.
Amen.
Now, I will say this. I am not going to play around with it. If a kid is not going to listen to the teacher, if a kid's not going to be respectful and do what they're told, they will not be allowed in.
Amen.
I will not play around. I will not play games with it. And you might think I'll be mean or whatever. I'm sorry. They need to know to respect God.
Amen.
This is a privilege, not a right.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So anyone, even my little guy Dawson, if he can handle it, maybe I'll let him go in there. We'll see. We'll see. But if they get Riley or whatever, you know, that's not good. That doesn't do anything. They need to at least listen, participate in little activities and things. I think that'll be really good for them. So let's do that. Anyone, you know, however young, that's fine, up to about maybe 9 or 10, or probably be the oldest in there. That's what we'll start with, just that class. For those in between there, let me keep reading what Brother Bram says here, and then I'll explain what we're going to do for now. There should be a little baby class. There should be from about 5 years old, and all the others, excuse me, I skipped something. Let me go back. You should have someone to take the class for those little babies, some old mother or something who knows how to take care of them. Other classes, I think, should be someone who's more able to present the word. Okay, so that when you start getting up, sometimes you get the wrong man in there, woman or whoever.
Right.
And they might try to preach when they're just to do Sunday school.
Amen.
It's not the same.
No.
You just got a lesson, you just teach it to them, they receive it. You can have a little dialogue. I think there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes I've been in churches where Sunday school is just the first sermon. And that's not what it's for. And maybe a preacher could do it, but usually the preacher has a hard time just talking.
Right.
They start, just like today, I'm doing a terrible job, ain't I? And just preaching all over the place, and I can't just get across. Right, we're here for the word of the Lord, isn't it? Right, amen. So someone that's more able to hold the word or present the word, see? And there should be classes. To say now that there should be a class, he says at least 3 classes. He said there should be a little bitty baby class that should go from about 5 years old. And all the others should be kept with the mother. See, that's my Wesley, for instance, Noah. He can stay with mommy. You know,
right.
they got a nursery, and he said that here. He said there's a nursery if it's necessary during the time of preaching. If they carry on, that's what the nursery's out there for. I think the class should be arranged from like the little babies to about 5 or 6, or up to 8, 9, 10, something like that. And that's what we're doing here. And from 10 on to 15 should be a teenage class. And for now, we're not going to do that. Okay? Just because... Like I said, right now I want to just see how this goes.
Right.
We'll start with the little guys, and actually that's where most of our kids are. We've got a few that are getting up there a little bit older, but we got quite a bit of them that are the little guys' age.
Right.
And I think it'll be good to get them kind of in a routine, and then the church kind of learn how it works. And right now we only got one room anyway. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, they're the ones that need Sunday school the most.
Amen.
The little guys. Amen. And then from 10 on to 15 should be teenage class, and then the adult class over 15, because if they're old enough nowadays, they want to get a job, and they're wanting to vote at that age almost. So they should be able to hear the word.
Amen.
But come out to the main auditorium and have that. Okay, so for now, I just want to do a little class. I don't want to do a teenager or an adult class at the moment. I want to just see how that goes. Amen? I think we'd have to pray probably for a new building before we have another. I do think we could use an intermediate class. I think that'd be really good.
Right.
And even an adult class to be able to ask questions and things, I think that's all great. But for the time being, I think it'd be better for us just to invest in prayer.
Amen.
You know, and because I think prayer is the most important thing we ought to be doing as Christians. Sometimes we do. We try to study things out too much and think too much. Just love the Lord. Go talk to Him about it.
Amen.
You get answers a lot better anyway.
Amen.
Okay, who should be the teachers? There you are. That's up to you to vote your own teachers in. Okay, let's hold on to that. You ought to do that. Put them in there. Get somebody. And meet with the church. Say, who feels led of the Lord? And get a qualified teacher. And then let it be done. It's got to be strictly business, brethren. If the teacher can't qualify to it, then change teachers. I told you I felt led of the Lord. And I'll just tell you now. So I'm going to have Sister Violet Reese over there preach our little guys for now. Or, did I say that? See, just just for the long, like I said, my thoughts and things, I don't know why, I just kept going back that way, and I went and asked her, when was that, a couple weeks ago? Yeah, Sister Violet's looking at me the same way I was, because she's like, Brother Andrew, I knew you were going to tell me from the first time, and I'm like, well, that helped me out a lot, because I was like, I don't know if Sister Violet wants to do this, and I don't know if she's going to, you know, and like I said, it was completely contrary to what I had thought to do, okay, and that's not any throw on Sister Violet. If anything's encouraged to all these sisters, I mean, my goodness, I just think all, there's plenty of women that love the Lord. And I think they all can do it just fine, but I have to just do what I feel led to.
Amen.
Now, I'm appointing her for now. I want you to understand how we're going to do this. And I probably won't start Sunday school because I'm leaving this week and things. Well, probably, I think, let's say the first Sunday in September. Does that work for everyone? So, give us a few weeks that I'll hash some details out with her and everything before, and then we'll try to get that by the 1st of September for now, for the little guys now. Now, it's got to be strictly business. So, now I'm going to appoint her. I think we should do it for a little bit. We'll see how it goes, and I do believe we ought to vote if we think Sister Violet should do this or not. I also think, since we've been here a little while now, we should also vote on Dad, just to be clearly conscious if we really want him to be trustee here. I don't believe in voting the pastor. And I'm not saying that just because it's what I do. I don't believe in that. I believe God set in the church pastors. Deacons are voted in. Deacons came because of a need. It was something afterwards that needs to be voted on to see if the people agree. That's not the way, and I'll talk, that's the Lord willing. I think next week I'll speak on the ministry up here besides just the pastor. How that's supposed to work. It's not supposed to be, that's the denomination.
Right.
Where they dictate who stands behind the pulpit and things. And I, just to let you know, Dad didn't even know I was going to say that. I just felt it right now. So, you know, oh, man, I'm going to be voted on. Oh, okay, just making sure. But if either way, like I said, I think, you know, Dad's done it for a while and things, so we've got a little bit to work there, but I think it'd be good to have Sister Violet. You know, we all vote now, we're just, what are you going to base it on? You know, I think we ought to just see how it goes, you know. And even Sister Violet, this leaves the way for a person, too. If they get in there and they realize, I don't want to do this, you know, I don't feel it, that's fine. Don't get all upset about it. It's fine. You know, and that goes for any office at any time. If you just feel, I don't feel led to do this anymore, then tell us. Don't be a grudging giver. If you don't feel led to do it, don't do it.
Amen.
That's not pleasing to God. It ought to be, there's something in my heart. God's told me to do it. I'm here to do it.
Amen.
That goes the same with the ministry. If it's a grudge, you don't want a minister behind a pulpit that's being forced to preach.
Right.
You're gonna feel it after a while. You want somebody that loves the Lord and believes that God told them to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And they love the people and they want to help the people. Amen. All right, let's finish this out. So we'll do that. When the time comes, as under God, if I feel Brother Neville can't qualify no more to be a pastor here, I'm going to mention it to the church. When I see one thing here that you deacons don't qualify to be deacons, I'm going to mention it to the church. And I find out there's a certain man like that or a trustee, whatever it is. I can't vote it in or out. The church has to do that. But I'm certainly going to present it before the church. Okay? See, because that's the way it should do. That's what I'm supposed to do as overseer. I'm supposed to look and see what's going on. We're going to heaven, not out here somewhere to a rally or something. We'll have a lot of fun and roll over the place and play baseball. We're handling the most gracious thing there is on earth, the Word of God, and it's got to be carried out in godly order.
Amen.
This is serious business. I don't think these are haphazard decisions. We ought to stay right on the Word the best we can. This is the last thing I'm going to be reading here, so just give me just a little bit longer. Who should be over the Sunday school to keep it in order? The Sunday school superintendent. And that's what I'll be doing for the time being. That's what his business is. He's not supposed to have anything to do with the deacons, trustees, pastors, or nobody else. He's got an office of his own. Whoever your Sunday school teacher is, I don't know. But that Sunday school teacher is supposed to see that every class is in its place, every teacher is present, or substitute teacher, or substitute another teacher for that teacher if they're not there on that day. Then just before the Sunday when the lessons are going on, the Sunday school superintendent is to go by and take up the offerings that they've had in there, their Sunday school collections, and report how many present, how many Bibles they had in the class, and so forth, and make a report of it.
Right.
Okay, that's what the prophet said. And then stand before the audience just before the preaching service when he's given a spot to do it, when they have the Sunday school report. After the Sunday school is over, tell how many teachers, how many present, how many the whole Sunday school total, the whole total of offerings, and so forth like that. Now, we will do that, and I will be the first one to do that, and I pray the Lord will find a man that can do what I'm going to do. But in Sunday school, we're going to keep track of these things, and I think it's great. I think it's so wonderful. When I did it for the Craigs, it just made the kids love to come and made the people not afraid to send their kids. You know, when you tell, okay, this many kids were there, you know, we began to think, well, how come there was 10 one week and now there's only 5? See, then parents go, well, my, maybe I need to get my kids there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. How many were on time? How many had their Bibles with them? You know, how many knew their memory verse?
Amen.
How many participated, you know, whatever. And give them little prizes and things. Brother Ram talks, let me just finish the quote, and then I'll get done. Deacons, trustees, pastors are not supposed to do that. I'm doubling up. Make sure you understand that. Me doing that is not being a pastor. I'm being a Sunday school superintendent as well. Does that make sense? Okay. That doesn't mean I would have to, but they don't have nothing to do with it. That's the Sunday school superintendent's job. And then if he needs, that the Sunday school needs certain things, then he's to present that to the trustee board, and the trustees have a meeting upon it first, and the trustees, if they find there's sufficient funds and so forth through the treasurer, then this can be purchased. If he wants to something or another for literature or whatever it is, or some Bibles or something, they want to buy a Bible for the one, you know, who can find the most words and quote the most scriptures, some prize or something, they're going to give away like that present, and they want to buy it through the church and let it be presented to deacons and so forth. See, I believe in doing that. I believe in teaching them that if you do what's right, you'll get rewarded by God. And I think we ought to instill that in them. When I did it at Brother Craig's, I kept like little points on stuff. You know, if they were early, I gave them some. If they had their memory verse, I gave them some. Had their Bibles and stuff like that. And then after so many times of keeping track of that, we'd go get them candy or something, little awards I came up with and all. Now, does Sister Violet have to do it that way? No. And Brother Bram even talks about that. It's not my job, even as a Sunday school superintendent. When I was Sunday school superintendent, I didn't tell teachers how to teach.
Right.
That's not his job.
Amen.
His job is just to keep the numbers, make sure if the teacher says, hey, I'd like to get, you know, flannograph, for instance, he's the one that's supposed to say, okay, we got this need, how much money cost, let's go talk to the trustees, let's see what the pastors, see if we want to do this.
Right.
I believe that. Absolutely.
Amen.
Oh, and the offering too, make sure, give your kids a quarter, let them give it. Teach them to give.
Right.
Let them earn that quarter somewhere.
Amen.
Teach them what 10% means.
Amen.
That's for both my jobs.
Yeah.
A math teacher, too. Yeah, teach them what 10% is. Save me a little trouble by the time you get to high school. But, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me read the office. And the main reason I'm reading a lot is because this will be on tape. I want you to understand that. That way, if you need to go back and I need to listen, I can bring it up. You can read it. It's not necessary for us to I understand you probably get gracious to every little thing I've said today. I understand that. But if the question has come up, I'll be able to bring this back up. That's the reason. Let me finish right here. The office of Sunday school superintendent is of vital importance to the church. Though his duties are not major, he is responsible to keep the children's classes with teachers and supplies that pertain to teaching. He shall undertake to appoint teachers to the rooms assigned to them. He shall, in the absence of a Sunday school teacher, appoint another teacher to take the place of the one absent from duty. He shall watch carefully that the time elements of the classes beginning and closing do not interfere with the worship service. That's where I had a hard time. One time when I was at a church, the way they did it before I got there was it went into the service. I said, I can't even do my job because it told me to make sure it doesn't go into service. Why are you telling me to do something that I'm supposed to do the exact opposite? But here's the thing. I talked to the brother and we changed it. See, that's the difference. I could have just got all mad and said, I ain't doing this, and slammed it on the door and walked out. That's not the right approach. If you got a question, just deal with it.
Yes.
Give the man or woman a chance. Now, if they turn it down after that, well, you might have to pray. You might be it's just that. Sometimes you just got to bite it, don't you? But if you're a Christian, that's okay.
Right.
The most important thing with all this is that we love one another.
Amen.
That we respect one another. That you reverence one another. Even these offices, that you reverence them. That you don't treat them like dirt. If you're in one, don't treat it like it's a grudge or treat it like I just let it go. I don't believe in that. Most of the Sunday school superintendents I've seen or heard of before didn't put any diligence into it. Well, that's why you get nothing out of it. They didn't do report. I don't want you to raise hands, but just think of your experience. How many churches have you gone to that do a Sunday school report? Does anybody know it? There's one that does it now, and that's Brother Craig, because I'm not trying to brag. Saying that they still do it now, because if you start it right, you build it right, they last. I believe this prophet. I believe we do it this way, it'll work.
Amen.
Amen. So before, I think that'll be good too. Get done 11:55. I'll have the information somehow from Sister Violet, We'll get, like I said, the details, we'll get figured out. We'll probably figure it out after about the third time, how we're exactly going to do things. But I'll present that, right, that in between 12 there, just present that so everybody knows what was done and how many and all those things, give a little report, and then we'll sit down and then we'll start the worship service just the way we have been. There? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bring your little kids, too. If you get, they got a little buddy, bring them.
Amen.
You'd be surprised what God can do through a little flannel.
Amen.
Pray for Sister Violet. I know it's not something, you know, it's new, it's different, and that's the same with all of us. And pray for Brother Andrew. Pray for one, just pray for one another.
Amen.
More than anything. Just love one. Okay, let me finish here. This Sunday school superintendent's job note. He shall watch carefully that the time elements of the classes beginning and closing do not interfere with the worship service. He shall present the needs of the Sunday school supplies to the Board of Trustees, who will advise him concerning the funds needed for supplies. He shall not direct the teachers themselves. You hear that now? Okay. Only assigning them to their classes. He shall not undertake any program without consulting the pastor for the Sunday school department solely. He is not required to sit on deacon's board meetings nor trustee meetings. He is free from any responsibility as that pertaining to a deacon or trustee, that all his time may be given to supervise the Sunday school with devout interest. Saying, oh, it's just, you know, whatever. I'll just slop this down, you know. And, oh, we didn't get that kid's memory verse. Yeah, that's fine. Don't be a superintendent and treat it like that. With devout interest. You ruin a child doing this stuff.
Right.
You'd be surprised how far. I know people that, and my mother has a certain situation that her father did to her from a little child, and it's affected her until here recently. She's finally realized that that's what's dictated her decisions. Because she got a great anticipation that it was taken up. So she never allowed herself to get excited. Even me coming to visit her, it was hard for her to get excited because she always had in the back of mind, what if he backs out? Because of something that happened at the shop. I'll go to Rite Aid and buy candy. If we forget to, if they need a prize for the memory work, we'll do something because I don't, can't do that to the shop.
Amen.
Scar for life. With any office, I'm going to read this quote and then we'll close here. Dr. Churchill, remember, you're not working for Brand Tabernacle. You're not working for Truth Tabernacle. Neither are you working for Brother Neville or me, or Brother Andrew for that matter. You're working for Jesus Christ. And he's expecting your loyalty just the same as he is to that pastor or anyone else. He's expecting your loyalty, and we want to show our loyalty. Now, for the time being, as I told you, right now, I think I've made it pretty clear what we're going to do. Now, these offices, if the Lord would lead me, lead the church, maybe we'll have a deacon. Maybe we'll have a Sunday school superintendent. Maybe we'll be able to start a new class and things like that. But for the time being, we're not doing that. But this is what we're going to do, what I just said here. I guess act in as a deacon now. That's why I greet and things like that. I do watch before service to make sure, you know, if anybody's talking or things or somebody needs seated and stuff, you kind of rearrange. And that's one thing we have to do around here because we just run out of space pretty quick sometimes.
Okay.
Especially when visitors go ahead and get here. And we do appreciate your visitors being here and having patience about all this, you know. But I hope you heard from the Lord tonight. And more than anything, let me make sure you understand, God wants your loyalty no matter what you're doing. Your position, let's just say, just sitting right there is just as vital as being back here.
Amen.
We've talked about it time and time again. But God expects your loyalty to him.
Amen.
When you're at home by yourself, God knows what you're doing.
Yes.
You know what you're doing.
Amen.
You know if you're serving God or not.
Right.
You know if you're doing right or wrong. You know if you're displeasing him and thinking, people are, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yes, you do. Just listen to that little voice that's speaking to you. And we do miss it. I understand that. I'm not here to preach some gospel of impossibility. We're humans. We make mistakes. But there's a mighty big God. And he paid a lot that we don't have to deal with condemnation no more. He paid a lot that we don't have to deal with sickness no more. He paid a lot that we could be free in God. You know why that's always, why the Holy Spirit came? Was to take us back, not in a simple condition, but take us back to what it was like in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
When you feel that presence, how many felt that in worship? When we started, you could just feel it. This ain't Brother Andrew, this ain't Brother James. Jesus Christ is here amongst us.
Amen.
And it's so humble, but it's so powerful. Enter into it, church living God.
Amen.
When we do these things, get in the spirit.
Amen.
You think just keeping some numbers and things like that, oh, it's no big deal. Get in the spirit. God will bless abundantly. He has.
Yeah.
He has. When we look at our finances in this church, I have no idea where all this money is coming from most times. You know what? It doesn't go in my pocket either. We give it to missions.
Amen.
We give it to the building here. We give it so those that, you know, can't have gas to get here, they're able to get to the house of God.
Amen.
And think, those that can't, you know, we want to fellowship together, and sometimes people don't got money to do that. I'm glad we got some to give to them.
Amen.
See, that's the one. People want to be blessed. I want this. I want that. What do you do with it?
Amen. Yes.
Say, I need another $100. So what? You go blow it on the thing you're backslidden for?
Sure.
Good.
What if you say, but God, and that's my heart's desire. I wouldn't mind. You know, it's good to be blessed. We're going to preach just a little bit here. I can just feel it. It's not time to leave. Holy Spirit's working. It's good to be blessed. But what do you want to be blessed for?
Right. Amen.
If anything, God, I'll take more money so I can help others more.
Yeah. Amen.
How many times you've been there when you're like, man, this brother needs this, but I'm just broke as anybody else. And it does. It's just like, oh, I wish I could do something.
Sure.
How much more?
He that's faithful in little.
Yeah.
God will make you. He'll bless you.
Amen.
You can, see, that's the most important thing. Whatever God has given you, are you faithful with that?
Yes.
Be faithful. And that goes with time. That goes with your efforts. That goes with what your whole life.
Yes.
What are you faithful to God about? If you're not, you won't get more time. I'll tell you that right now. If you're not, you won't get more money. If you're not, you won't get a promotion thing. It will just never work out that way because God, if you're his child now, let me make sure you understand that. I'm talking to the children of God.
Amen.
He's a father to you. If you're just serpent seed, I don't know. I don't know. He's not obligated to you. But if you're a child of God, he will not have some illegitimate child, some renegade. He will have a son.
Amen.
And that son is under a tutor of the Holy Ghost. And he will come out like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the only thing after you're converted, after you receive the Holy Ghost, is to mature in the gospel, to let God get the glory out of your life, that you will die out to your own thinking.
Right.
You'll die out to your own ways, your selfish ways. You'll lay that all down, and you'll serve God better.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's your ambition. A Christian's ambition is always to progress.
Right.
We get too satisfied. Well, I'm saved. Now, that's a mighty great thing. You better know you're saved.
Amen.
And if you're not, I'm telling you this morning, you can be.
Right.
I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. If you need something, he's here to give it to you.
Right.
You say, in a service about church offices, this ain't just a service.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's why I told you, I had one church one time. Pastor said he's going to preach about church order. Don't bring any visitors because it don't pertain to them. That's fine. It's the gospel.
Right.
See, if we're denomination, if you're not Methodist, don't show up. Right. If you're not Baptist, don't be there. But we're not a denomination. We're an organism. We're a being. We're the body of Christ. And in that body is all kinds of offices. We've talked about a few here, and you say, well, I don't feel like I'm none of those. I'm not qualified for that. Every born-again Christian baptized with the Holy Ghost is subject to all the powers of God.
Amen.
God might not use you as a deacon or trustee and things of that sort. Don't you worry about that. He can use you.
Amen.
He can use you in divine healing.
Yeah.
He can use you if you'll give your faith to him to be a witness in a light where the pastor can't be.
Amen.
Glory to God. Why are we doing this? Because this enhances that. When people walk in and they see how things are done, I'm telling you, go to a worldly church for a while. It don't look this way.
Amen.
Everybody just talking and doing whatever. There's no reverence for God. Nobody cares what we're doing. We're just here to kind of fellowship with one another and see one another, and then we'll have some good speech about Jesus. Now go home and feel good about yourself. See you later. That's not the gospel. The gospel came with a man that knew authority.
Yeah.
A man that knew where he stood. A man that could say, thus saith the Lord, if you don't do this today,
Amen.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that this is he, if you don't believe that the word of God is Jesus Christ living today in the hearts of every believer, you will not be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
Guess we're going to have a little church, aren't we?
Amen.
Friday night, how many was there? Some of the brothers. Holy Spirit's all over that place.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Man, talking about this is your day.
Amen.
And we talking about the brothers and how we need to take over houses and our houses again and be men of God and quit being wishy-washy. Look, we're free moral agents. We've got a choice. Don't you blame God for your own belief. You've got a choice to believe or not. You've got a choice to be a Christian or not. You women got a choice to cut your hair or not, or to wear dresses or not, or to be backslidden or not. You brothers got a right to talk dirty with the boys or to do what's right.
Amen.
You've got a choice. Don't you give in to that. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got enough power to create a world and go live on it. You've got enough power to overcome a little temptation.
Yeah.
Why? Because the same man, when he got the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, he was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness. You know, to go on a nice 40-day picnic. Isn't that right? And just everybody come pat him on the back and give him hugs. And, oh, brother, you're just so good. We just love you, Jesus. Is that what the Holy Spirit does? No, sir. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil.
Amen.
Christian road is a little harder than most people want to say it is.
Right.
But it's the only way to life.
Amen.
Find yourself on that road. How? Every power of hell is coming against me, but I got something to overcome.
Amen.
See, a lot of men have got to, you know, they hit rock bottom and things, you begin to realize the devil don't love you. And that he wants you dead. But you've got to turn the right direction.
Amen.
Don't turn to AA. Don't do you no good.
Amen.
Don't turn to some psychology. Don't turn to some denominational thought about the Word of God. Well, Jesus loves everybody. And, you know, he'll accept you. Yeah, he will. But you need to accept him. In order to accept him, you won't stay the same.
That's right.
They always go to the woman that was caught in adultery, didn't they? Said, see, don't judge. Don't judge, lest you be judged. That's what Jesus said. But if they're not going to follow the word, I can judge that. You might not like that, but look, the woman there, caught in adultery, what did they do? They threw her at Jesus' feet and says, Moses, the law says stone her and kill her. What do you say?
Right.
He made one statement. And it says he wrote in the sand. And to this day, none of us know exactly what he put down there. But he got up and did make one statement, didn't he? He that has no sin cast the first stone. He dropped it first. The older, right? Sorry, not that old. But you are older than some of us younger folk around here. But they began to drop the stone from the oldest. Why? Because the oldest knew they had more mistakes. They knew way, you know, until it got down to that little 7-year-old boy. He said, yep. Yeah, I stole that cookie. Now, most people stop right there. See? That's it. That's the end of the story. That's not what happened. Well, Abraham said that Jesus wouldn't look down at her because she wasn't appropriate to look at. Because he was the Son of Man, he couldn't sin.
Right.
He wouldn't be tempted, so he began to look for her. He said one thing to her, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, I don't have any. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin. Jesus tell her something she couldn't do?
Nope.
That's where your excuses need to go out there. You know, that woman was an adulterer. We know that. And you might not have committed adultery, but there's people that done a lot less than that won't just make it right. They just go and keep on sinning and think that something's going to happen. No. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you've got power to get rid of that thing.
Amen.
But first, the only thing you have to do is to let go of your love for it. That's all you can do. You can't deliver yourself. I want you to understand it. But you can take your affections off.
Yes.
That's what you have to do. And give your affections to God. And the Holy Spirit, when he knows that you really mean it, he'll equip you with power. He'll equip you with deliverance, and that thing won't bother you.
Amen.
That's the only way to get really delivered. See, that's where we miss it, don't we? Right before we get to that point, we go, well, I kind of still like it. And we get, well, I guess I'll just kind of rub here. And before you know it, the devil, and he's got you right back in the game.
Right.
The devil's more patient than most of us are. He'll work until he gets you. There's only one way to outdo him. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Because the thing about the Holy Spirit, he really is God.
Amen.
He really knows everything.
Amen.
There ain't no point in lying to him in prayer. There ain't no point in saying, well, God, you know, but just be real. Let's do that. I'm sorry to keep you that long. I didn't mean real softly, we're going to, you ain't quiet. He is Lord. Mm-hmm. each one. Respect God and respect one another in this time. I want to ask a question. As you're going in that conference, that Holies of Holies with just Him, I want you to look at your heart. Respect each other, please, each one. If there's anyone here that would say, Father, I need salvation. I've lived lukewarm. I've lived backslidden. I'm in and out. I'm up and down. I'm not doing what I ought to do. There's a God who knows. If you'd like to raise your hand and say, Father, forgive me. Wash me clean. Lord, I need a rock. I need a revelation. I need to know that I know that I know. I'm tired of doubting. I'm tired of living wrong and doing this. But God, I'm believing now. That on the cross, when you said it was finished, I believe that, Lord, and I don't have to live this way. God, wash my heart by your blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost this service. God bless each one. God sees your hands. Now, don't stop there. You've got to yield yourself. You've got to give all your heart. Sometimes we just do a little confession or something. Give your heart to the Lord, all of it. Don't hold back. Don't worry about someone else. Some dried-eyed confession. That don't move the Lord. It's when it's from your heart. You're just, God, I'm here to lay my life down. I have nothing without you, Lord. And I can't find you in my heart. Fill me, Lord. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Don't doubt. Believe. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit work. He's here now. Don't you doubt it, Christian friend. Those of you that are saved and things, I'm not trying to tell you none. I just believe the Holy Spirit's working in the Son. Hallelujah. Now don't doubt, but believe. Believe, church. If there's any here just empty, feel dry. You know, the Lord's done a work. He's saved you. He's changed you. But for some reason, you go to serve Him and there's just nothing there. You go to read your Bible and all of a sudden the TV's more attractive. You go to think on the Lord and you get thinking about everything else in the world and you never spend no time with Him. And Jesus is standing in the corner of your room with dusty feet waiting for you to talk to Him. If that's you, look, don't be ashamed. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to brother. This church here, nobody's looking around. This is between you and Him. If that's you, give your hands to the Lord and say, Father, and when you raise your hand, that's surrender. I give up, Lord. I'm so sorry. Don't hold no pride. Just give it all to Him. God will fill you. If you'll just come empty, you'll come and pour out all your nonsense, all your pride, all your righteousness, lay it down at the cross. He'll come and fill you with His. And you can leave today with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not some psychology. I'm talking about the Spirit of God that's here amongst us. Will fill you and change you. Don't resist Him. You've got to soften yourself, church. I'm telling you, some of you holding on. I say that, that's thus saith the Lord. You've got to let your heart be soft before Him. If you hold anything back, you'll never get it. You'll never have that life you desire. It'll never be there. You'll always be one step short because you're trying to get it yourself. There's someone who already did it for you. Hallelujah. Ask in faith. Ask believing. You have a conference with Him. Hallelujah. God bless each one. I see that. It's the Holy Spirit here. That's not an imagination. That's not some person. The words I'm saying to you are not what I want to say. It's what He's trying to get across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel Him so thick right now. Friday we had the same thing. At the end of service, the Spirit so thick throughout the building. And what did He do? He came and told us that those that had made a decision for Christ, you made the greatest decision you ever did. Those that were coming and making their heart right and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And brother, I'm just going to share it because I don't think He'd care. Brother Tom Sproles was just praying there and said, God, I need a deliverance. I need a breakthrough. I'm trying. Lord, I'm giving you my whole heart. And then the word of the Lord came and told you, you've made the greatest decision you ever had. He said, I was about to jump through the roof because God gave you my deliverance. Now look, the same God on Friday is still here today. Why are we doubting? Why are we afraid? It's because you've got to have the same faith that brother did, that the word coming across is for me. It's just for me, Lord. You're saying it to me personally. This isn't just for general. This is for me. And that word went across the whole congregation. I don't know if it was for anyone else, but it was at least for that one brother. And even what I'm saying now, it might just be one soul here that needs to hear what I'm saying. Would you yield yourself to it now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to get down there and cry right out to the Lord, you do it. The only thing you need to do is don't leave here down. Don't leave here with the same condemnation you walked in with. Leave free. Jesus paid a lot for you to go free. Don't you turn him down for something of the world. Don't you turn him down for some pride. Don't you turn him down because, oh, you know, it's just maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. You know, I'm trying to do this and that. I'm okay. I'm good enough. Don't you turn Jesus down for that. Without him, we're dirt.
Amen.
But with Christ, we can do all.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit here. In case it's bothering you, there ain't nobody looking around. This is between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have an altar up here, but you've got an altar right there in your heart. And we can't bring a lamb like they did in the Old Testament. You've got to put yourself on there and die to yourself. Don't be afraid. He'll take over. His decisions are way better than yours anyways. It's a trial of faith, but I'm telling you, benefits are way beyond your imagination for you to trust the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. You pray your own way. You seek the Lord now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for being here this afternoon. I thank you, Lord, that even when we're establishing, Lord, as I felt led to do in the church, the things that, of the offices, that you still come and vindicate the service right now. Because it's your word, Lord. It's not my word. It's your word. Wherever your word is preached, you promise you'd be there. Wherever it's brought forth, you said, my word will not return void, but it'll accomplish what I intended for. Lord, and we know you told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, and that these signs would follow them that believe. That they would cast out devils. And in the name of Jesus Christ, every devil addiction, every devil affliction, I rebuke you in the name of Christ. Leave this church. Said we lay hands on the sick, they recover, Lord, and I pray.
Yeah.
I don't have to physically lay hands, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would drop its hands on every afflicted soul in body or mind or spirit. Lord, and you would bring healing to each one. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Brother Rodney as he goes to bury himself in baptism, that you, by the Spirit, would raise him up anew in life. Lord, and that his faith wouldn't come short. Satan, you're a liar. Quit deceiving my brother in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that devil spirit's trying to get on about four or five of you in this building. Reject that spirit. If you put your life in the blood, you're forgiven.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a power beyond us here. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for being here amongst us, Lord. And I pray if there's one soul here that doesn't know you, oh God, have mercy on them. Don't let us, we walked in our ignorance too one day. We found you, Father. I pray that each soul here would find you. Not me, not a church, not a building, but God, may they find that beloved person, that name of Jesus Christ, that beloved Savior that we all adore. May each one find him. That rock in a weary land, that water that springs up when we're dry and thirsty and dying. Satisfy each soul that's here. If there's a backslidden heart, oh God, restore them. If there's one that's never seen it, it's all new to them, oh God, don't let them reason it. Let them just accept you and have that change on the inside that they can say, from this moment, my life was different. Grant to each one, we pray. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. Whatever you'd like to do, Father, we want you to receive the glory. Be in everything we do, the rest of this service, the rest of this day. Brother Rodney's baptism, if there's any soul here that's not been baptized in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that they would find the water themselves. Lord, for you said that that's when we repent, be baptized, we'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Grant to each one here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. What I want to do here is we all just continue to worship for a little bit. I'm going to leave this open up here if you'd like to come forward for prayer. I'll be happy to pray with you. I believe in that. The Bible says if two of you will agree on any one thing, the Lord said he'd do it. And sometimes, you know, you ask and you just can't seem to find the faith you need to. It's fine to come forward for prayer. That's not a rebuke at all. It's just what the Lord might want to do today. If you have a need, you can come forward now. Stay in that atmosphere for a little bit longer. I know we've been a little longer than normal, but just give the Lord a little bit of time here. Could be your mom, your grandma up here. Think of it that way. Sister, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, with spiritual eyes, we can see our brother is the seed of God. He wants to serve. He loves the Spirit of God. Lord, and there's this roadblock of the enemy. But we pray in faith together that you'll just move it out of the way, Father. Set our brother free. Let him find you, Lord, and see the truth for himself. May it flow through the whole family, Lord, and may they all come in that relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I believe with my sister and expecting results. Amen. Amen. Now you praise him. It's done, sis. Put one right there. He's serving the Lord. He loves him. He's right there now. You believe that? Oh, praise God. Every hand raised, let's worship him. Worthy. Worship him. Worthy. Him in praise. Any soul that has another need. The altar's still open. That's any need. If you don't feel that peace about it, I believe the Holy Spirit meets you right there. You see, that's fine. I just want to share to you. Brother Jason came in today, shoulders hurting. It's fine now. The Holy Spirit healed him right here in the service. See, that's what I'm saying. I believe in that. You don't have to come forward. I'm just saying if you have something and you want to, I want to give one more here. Don't be afraid. That's the main thing. Holy Spirit, a lot of times people get afraid. If you are, chances are you just got something in your heart you need to make God. Just do it and watch the peace of God come back in your life. But if you have a need, just come forward, we'll sing it, and I'm not going to keep you long. We'll go right to the baptismal service here in a minute. I just felt to leave that open here. Don't stop one step short of a breakthrough. It don't do no good to run a race and not cross the finish line. The Holy Spirit working on you, just give over to it until the peace of God's there. God's not an Indian giver. He don't tease us. He told us these things for a reason. He said, my peace I give. He didn't say earn, you'll earn it. He said, I'll give you my peace. Not like the world gives it where you get it and then you lose it and you get it and you lose it. He said, I'll give it and it'll be everlasting peace. You'll be able to walk right in the presence of God, right through the blood of the Lamb, not afraid, because you know you've been pardoned. Hallelujah. Let's sing it one last time. All together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. See your brother get healed. Don't say a lot of things that were on my heart, but now it's out there, so that's good. As I said, the Lord will pray for me on my trip. I'll be thinking on you every day. Every day. And it's lot harder when you're farther away, because I love you. I believe you love me, or you wouldn't put up with me so much as you have to. Pray for my dad, too. I'm taking his buddy away for a week. That's my son. I used to be my dad's friend, and I got pushed into second place. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, though. If you have any questions, please don't. If you can settle in prayer or something, go ahead. That's fine. I understand you in that. But if it just doesn't get settled, you need to talk to me. Please do that. Don't let it fester. Don't let division come in. Love one another. Love one. How do I love one another? When you have a clear conscience between one another. You don't get in and have funny feelings of this and that. I used to think that wasn't possible. I began to realize, you'll just give to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have funny feelings around anybody.
Amen.
We're going to dismiss you for baptismal service. Brother Ronnie, you'll go and prepare in the room over there, and we'll get that all set up. You'll be dismissed to sit out there and be able to watch and things. This is a great thing today. It's also the devil knows, though. So make sure I understand. Anybody that hasn't been baptized, too, a lot of times we paint this picture. Oh, you'll get baptized. Everything's going to be great. The Spirit might lead you right out in the wilderness and get tempted by the devil for 40 days. But I'm here to tell you, greater is he that's in you. He that's in the world. When Jesus went out there, he defeated the devil every time because the Holy Spirit was in him. Brother Ronnie, don't prepare yourself. You can stay and worship for a little bit, but we are going to conduct a baptismal service out there. If you still want to just pray and things, I understand that. And we're going to leave that open for now. But it was good to be in the house of the Lord. I love each one of you. It's good to see our visitors and things. Thank you for your patience today. It's good to have you with us. I really appreciate your spirit as I hear you. You know, a lot of times when visitors come, it's hard to get everything kind of backward. Not today. That was great.
Amen.
That was wonderful. Actually, Brother Rick, you remind me a lot of my father-in-law. It's kind of just a... gives me good hopes that one day I'll see him with the same hands
Amen.
Raised. How many believes that?
Amen.
How about Brother Kent? Your kids are going to be there.
Amen. That's right.
That's right, Brother Dawson. I heard it back there. I believe this word. So I'll just let you sing here for a little bit. I just love the Lord Jesus. Let's give one more hand clap. This afternoon, go in the fear of God. God bless you. We appreciate it.